Greetings, brothers and sisters. This is Brother John, and today I'm going to be going over the vision of Ezekiel the prophet of what happens during the time of the rapture. And I'm going to analyze what's going on in his vision because it reveals much of the events that we are going to see moments before the rapture of the bride. And as we all know, according to scriptures, as it is written, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And that means that God revealed what is going to happen in the end times to his Old Testament prophets, prophets like Ezekiel. So let's dive right into Ezekiel's end time vision and see what God revealed to the prophet Ezekiel concerning the timing of the rapture. Starting at Ezekiel chapter 8 that says, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. So notice here we see that the Lord's appearance matches that of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 7 through 8, which is talking about the rapture, and it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Ezekiel's vision, he sees the coming of the Lord Jesus as the appearance of fire. He is coming in flaming fire. Back to Ezekiel. And he put forth the form of a hand, and he took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh towards the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. Notice here that God is showing Ezekiel one of the abominations of desolation. And I say one of the abominations of desolations because if you remember in Daniel 9:27, it says, and for the overspreading of abominations. That's a plural word, and that means that there's going to be multiple abominations going on. Therefore, this image of jealousy is only one of the abominations. And I believe that this image of jealousy is going to be the image of the beast that we see in Revelation chapter 13. Back to Ezekiel chapter 8. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way towards the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way towards the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here? That I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Notice here the fulfillment of Isaiah 26, verse 21, that says, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And this is exactly what we see here going on in Ezekiel's vision. God is coming out of his place in heaven to punish the wicked inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And there's all these abominations that are going on, and all of these idols and these images of jealousy that are provoking the Lord to wrath and fury. And I'm not going to read all of Ezekiel 8 for the sake of time, so I'm just going to go over some of the highlights. Okay, back to Ezekiel 8. Then he said unto me, Has thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Notice, because of all of Israel's abominations, all of their idolatry, and them worshiping the image of the beast, this has provoked God to anger and to wrath, and has made the Lord come down from heaven in wrath and flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God. This is the time that Jacob's trouble begins. When you see the abomination of desolation, this is what triggers the 3.5 years of great tribulation, which is the time of God's wrath against the unbelieving world. And we know from scripture that when God comes down from heaven to bring his wrath, that is when we go up, as it was in the days of Lot. The same day that Lot fled Sodom, it rained down fire from heaven. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When we get raptured, then sudden destruction follows. The same day that we go up, the wrath comes down. And Ezekiel 9 goes on to say, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And 1 man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Notice here that we see that God is sealing the 144,000 with the mark of God on their foreheads. And this happens before God's wrath comes down. Why? Because God is protecting these 144,000 with the mark of God on their foreheads. And we also see this in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, verse 3, that says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. This is a seal of protection against God's wrath. And this event takes place at the sixth seal rapture. And right after the sealing of the 144,000, what do we see? We see the great multitude from every nation and every language and every tongue that is without number, a huge multitude that can only be the blood-bought church. Every believer that has ever existed standing before the throne of God, giving him thanks and praise and worship. And we were just caught up to the throne of God before the 7 trumpets and the 7 bowls of God's wrath. The seals are not part of God's wrath. The seals are only birth pangs. The seals are just a prelude to the birth of the church that happens at the sixth seal rapture. The seals are the 2,000 years of the birth pangs of the entire church age. Okay, the seals are not supernatural. God's wrath is revealed from heaven. It is supernatural wrath. It is like the plagues of Egypt. The seals are what we see every day. We see famines, wars, pestilences, earthquakes, Christians being killed all over the world and persecuted. This is nothing new. Christians have been getting martyred for nearly 2,000 years. But God says that the great tribulation will be such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's going to be a time unlike any other time, the worst time ever. Does that sound like the seals to you? Absolutely not. There has always been wars and famines and pestilences. Have Christians ever been killed before? Of course they have. They've been getting killed for the past 2,000 years. Okay, so again, the seals are not uncommon. These are things that have always occurred. The Great Tribulation is going to be a time unlike any other time. Okay, so this is what Jesus was talking about when he said that it's going to be a time such as never was since the beginning of the world. He is talking about the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. These are horrific judgments of God's wrath in comparison to the seals that are a walk in the park. Now, once the 144,000 are sealed at the sixth seal rapture, then what happens? Then we see sudden destruction comes. Now, remember what God said to Ezekiel. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are being done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So you see that there is sudden destruction coming upon Jerusalem, starting at the sanctuary, and it is going to be a great slaughter, a great massacre, okay, to everyone that does not have the mark of God on their foreheads. Notice, after the 144,000 gets sealed, sudden destruction comes upon Jerusalem as travail upon a woman with child, and they that do not have the seal of God upon their foreheads will not escape. This sudden destruction comes at the abomination of desolation. As it is written, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And this is exactly what God revealed to Ezekiel. The timing of the sealing of the 144,000, which is the key to knowing the timing of the rapture, because they happen at the same time, according to Revelation chapter 7, that proves this. God cannot pour out his wrath upon the unbelieving world until he has sealed the 144,000 on their foreheads to protect them from God's wrath. And they are sealed at the abomination of desolation, as God revealed to his prophet Ezekiel. Okay, they're not getting sealed before the sixth seal, because the sixth seal is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are seeing him from heaven. The sun turns dark, the moon turns to blood, just as it is written in Joel. The sun shall turn to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord begins. This is what we see at the sixth seal rapture. And then we see the sealing of the 144,000. And then we suddenly see this great multitude from every nation, language, and tongue that no man can number, that is us, the church, that have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. And from this point on out, we're going to be forever with the Lord. Okay, and then the seventh seal opens. Okay, and there's silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. Okay, and then what happens? And then we see the angels preparing to sound the seven trumpets. This is the time when the wrath is about to come down. The first trumpet, what happens? When the first angel sounds, fire comes down from heaven and it burns all of the green grass, and one third of all of the trees are burnt up at the first trumpet. Just as it rained down fire as in the days of Lot. Okay, so too is it going to be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Therefore, I conclude that the rapture happens at the abomination of desolation, after that man of sin is revealed, which Paul states plainly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And what do we see in Ezekiel's vision? We see so many that have fallen away. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping the image of the beast. They're doing all kinds of abominations in Jerusalem. They have forsaken the one true God in favor for all of these idols and false gods, in favor for that man of sin, the false Messiah, the son of perdition. So why then are so many pre-tribbers deceived? In my opinion, I believe that it is based upon fear. They refuse to accept what is plainly written in Scripture because they're afraid. And it's understandable, but at the same time, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, I say, be strong and do not fear, for our God is coming to destroy the wicked. He is coming to save us. When we remove fear from our hearts and we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and we accept it for what is written plainly in the Scripture, that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to rapture us will not happen until the man of sin is revealed. And he gets revealed at the abomination of desolation, which I just proved using Ezekiel's vision, which was the sealing of the 144,000 with the mark of God on their foreheads, which happens at the same time of the rapture, as seen in Revelation chapter 7. And we see what it is that triggers God's wrath. It is the image of the beast that provokes God to jealousy. When the Jews are worshiping that man of sin and committing all sorts of abominations in God's temple, that is when God is going to come down in his wrath and in his fury. We see foreshadows of this in Exodus, when Moses was gone for a long time. Okay, just like Jesus was gone for a long time, what did the children of Israel do? They made a golden idol. Okay, it was a golden calf that they made. And it just so happens that it was an image of a beast. Okay, a calf is a beast. They made the image of the beast. They're worshiping the image of the beast because Moses went up the mountain just like Christ went up to heaven, and he was gone for a long time. He was gone for 40 days. 40 jubilees is 2,000 years. And when Jesus comes back down the mountain, what does he see? He sees Israel committing abominations, worshiping that image of the beast. This is a foreshadow of what's going to happen when Christ comes. At the abomination of desolation, the Jews are going to be worshiping the image of the beast, and it's going to provoke God to wrath and anger. So that's all for now, brothers and sisters. I'm going to end with the gospel, and that is that Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day for our justification. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, and that life is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For everyone that shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Until next time, God willing, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless, and Maranatha.